We all know that feeling, right? Trying to build a new habit, personal or professional, and it doesn't stick. It can be really tough.
Yeah, there's often this gap between what we want to do and what we actually end up doing day to day. It's frustrating.
Totally. And that's why today we're doing a deep dive into something that might just change how you approach all that. It's BJ Fogg's work, specifically his book Tiny Habits: The Small Changes That Change Everything.
Right. And our mission here is basically to unpack this whole methodology because it really seems to align with how our brains actually work, offering a faster, maybe easier way to grow than you might expect.
We're pulling the key ideas, the real nuggets, from the summary of his work.
Exactly, from summaries.com.
Okay, let's get into it. So, BJ Fogg, who is this guy? He's not just some random author.
No, not at all. He's a behavior scientist at Stanford. Been doing this for what, over 20 years? Deep research into human behavior.
Yeah, and he coined the term behavior design. You might even know his earlier stuff on persuasive technology. That was pretty influential, too.
It was. And what's really interesting, I think, is where he started. His initial work using behavior design wasn't even aimed at you or me individually.
Oh, really? Where was it focused?
It was more about helping companies, innovators, build successful products, things we actually use now, fitness apps, maybe finance tools, even systems for driving more efficiently. Millions of people use this stuff.
Huh. So how did he make the jump from designing like business solutions to helping us change our own habits? That seems like a big shift.
Well, that's the fascinating part. Fogg himself talks about this kind of aha moment. He saw how powerful these methods were for businesses and thought, okay, hang on, how do we apply this to ourselves? How do I change my own behavior?
Ah, okay. So he turned the lens inward first.
Right. And then he started teaching it to others around 2011.
Yeah.
And he mentions being genuinely surprised, excited, because it wasn't just theory anymore. It actually worked for the people he taught. It was changing lives.
So it became this practical, proven method for personal change, not just corporate strategy.
Yeah. Exactly. A real tool for personal evolution.
Okay, so we all kind of get that changing your life means changing your behaviors. Seems obvious. But Fogg's work really digs into the mechanics of it, right? With his behavior model.
Precisely. And this model is, well, it's elegantly simple on the surface. He says any behavior happens when three things converge: motivation, that's M, ability, A, and a prompt, P.
M plus A plus P equals
Yeah.
behavior. Got it.
Right. But the simplicity is a bit deceptive. Many people know the equation, but they miss its real power, which is diagnostic. It's like a map.
Map, how so?
Well, if a behavior you want to do isn't happening, the model tells you exactly where to look. Is your motivation too low? Is the task itself too hard, meaning ability is the issue? Or are you just not getting triggered? Is the prompt missing?
Okay, I see. It helps you troubleshoot why things aren't working. So, using that model, where do most of us typically mess up when we try to start a new habit? Like the old-fashioned way.
That's a great question. Instinctively, most people try to attack motivation. They think, I just need more willpower, or I need to get really hyped up. They try to force it.
Yeah, that sounds familiar, white-knuckling it.
Exactly. But Fogg argues, and his model shows, that focusing on motivation is often the least effective path. It fluctuates, it's unreliable.
So, what's the smarter way then, according to the model?
Focus on ability and prompts. Make the behavior incredibly easy that boosts ability. And make sure there's a clear, reliable trigger that's the prompt. If you nail those two, you often don't need massive motivation.
You engineer it, basically. Make it easy to succeed instead of relying on feeling motivated all the time.
You got it. You design the behavior. And that's the whole point of behavior design. It flips the script on how we usually approach change.
So behavior design tells us how to tweak things for the future. And the core principle is start small.
Not just small,
Yeah.
tiny, like really tiny. Fogg emphasizes making the first step so minuscule, so easy, it feels almost absurd not to do it.
Okay, give me an example. Like if I want to start flossing.
Right. Instead of saying, I'll floss all my teeth every night, your tiny habit might be, I will floss one tooth.
Just one. Seriously.
Seriously. Because the goal isn't the immediate impact of flossing one tooth. The goal is to build the habit of doing it, to make it automatic. That tiny step bypasses your brain's resistance. You do it, it feels easy, you get a little win.
Ah, okay. So it builds momentum.
Precisely. That tiny action builds momentum. And counterintuitively, that success actually boosts your motivation over time. It creates this positive upward spiral.
So the practical takeaway for you listening is that you can actually design habits. You don't just hope they happen. You find an existing prompt, make the new thing super small.
And that's how you start building towards those bigger goals, personal or professional. It seems almost too simple, but that simplicity is powerful.
Which brings us to the tiny habits method itself. It sounds like it takes all these ideas and puts them into a really clear formula.
It really does. It's very actionable. There are basically four key steps. First, specify your desired behavior. Get really clear. Not be healthier, but maybe eat one carrot at lunch. Super specific.
Okay, specificity first, then.
Second, make it tiny. We talked about this. Floss one tooth, do two push-ups. Read one sentence. It has to be something you can do even on your absolute worst day.
Right. Ridiculously small. Step three.
Third, find where it fits naturally. This means finding an anchor moment, something you already do automatically every single day.
Like brushing your teeth or making coffee.
Exactly. Those are perfect anchors. Your new tiny habit gets attached immediately after that existing anchor. So maybe after I start the coffee maker, I will do two push-ups. The anchor acts as the prompt.
Okay, anchor, then tiny behavior. That makes sense. And then there's a fourth step, the one that really seems unique to Fogg's method.
Yes, and it's absolutely crucial. Step four is to nurture its growth by celebrating immediately after you do the tiny behavior.
Celebrating, like throwing a party for doing two push-ups?
Huh, well, maybe not a full party. But you need an immediate, positive emotional response. It could be a literal yes, or a fist pump, or just mentally saying, good job, or way to go.
Why is that so important? Just feeling good.
It's more than just feeling good. It's about brain chemistry. That immediate celebration creates a little dopamine hit. It tells your brain, hey, that felt good. Remember the sequence. Anchor. Tiny behavior. Reward. It helps wire the habit in.
Wow. Okay. So it's actually reinforcing the neural pathway, making it stick.
That's exactly it. It makes the behavior more automatic over time. And here's the kicker. It does this without relying on willpower. The feeling of success becomes the engine.
So let's sum that up again. The magic formula is anchor behavior plus tiny behavior plus immediate celebration.
That's the core recipe.
And Fogg presents this as really the fastest and easiest way to make real changes happen. Because it works with your psychology, not against it. Amazing.
It reframes the whole process. It's not about massive effort. It's about smart design.
Now, we should mention again where we got the core insights for this deep dive. It was from summaries.com.
Right. And their whole model is kind of relevant here, isn't it? Read less, do more. They take these dense 300-page books.
Like Fogg's.
Exactly. And they boil them down to the essential ideas, maybe an 8-page summary. It lets you grasp the core concepts fast.
Which means you spend less time wading through text and more time, actually doing something with the ideas, like trying out tiny habits.
Precisely. It frees up that mental energy. You get the key takeaways, learn from smart people's successes and mistakes, pick up new strategies, catch up on classics.
Yeah, they cover a lot of ground sales, management, leadership. I know they have summaries of other big ones too, like Cialdini's influence.
Oh yeah, a huge library, over 1,000 summaries. So you can get a broad range of insights pretty efficiently.
So wrapping this up, it's clear that Tiny Habits isn't just some catchy name. It feels like a genuinely solid method.
It really does. It's grounded in behavioral science, in how we actually operate. It makes change feel achievable, not like this huge, daunting mountain to climb.
It makes it feel easy, almost.
And maybe that's the point. If we connect this to the bigger picture, maybe the most profound changes do start with things that feel easy.
Mm.
Consistent, tiny actions that snowball.
That's a powerful thought, realizing that these huge transformations can actually grow from something almost imperceptible at the start.
Yeah, building that foundation, brick by tiny brick.
Okay, so here's something for you, the listener, to think about as you go through the rest of your day. A little challenge, maybe.
Mm.
Look at your routine. What's one anchor moment you have? Something you do without fail.
Hmm. Like putting on your shoes, pouring your first drink of water.
Yeah, anything automatic. Now think of one goal you have. Just one. What's the absolute tiniest step you could take towards it right after that anchor? Something that takes like 30 seconds.
And crucially,
what little celebration could you do immediately after? A quick smile, a mental high five, just try it. What's that one tiny habit anchored and celebrated that you could start literally right now? It might seem small, but who knows what ripple effect it could create.